Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a fast-paced half hour, hopefully helping you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And it focuses on business, tax, and estate planning ideas and topics of interest to you. In the second half of the program, we'll have a special guest join us. But before I get to all the detail and the topic, let me tell you a little bit about the sponsor of your show, Zell Law. We are an estate and business planning law firm located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about Zell Law, please visit us on the web at zellaw.com. Or if you'd like to make an appointment, please call us at 571-203-9355. This morning, in the first segment of Blueprint for Wealth, we're going to be talking about charitable giving. I don't know if you've been reading the papers lately, but it's clear that charitable giving has been on the decline over the last year, and it's predicted that the fourth quarter will end up behind 2009 in terms of the amount of money that has been set aside for charitable and nonprofit purposes in 2010. So it's a tough environment for charities right now, and if you are charitably inclined and you have the ability to make a charitable contribution, this segment is going to talk about different ways of accomplishing your charitable planning. And it's based on an article, a column that I just wrote in the Washington Business Journal, which appears this week in Blueprint for Wealth in the Washington Business Journal. Now, when we're talking about charitable planning in terms of giving money, of course, you can just give money directly to a charity, and you can get a tax write-off for gifts to public charities and even to private foundations. Or you can set aside money in a donor-advised fund, which can be dispersed over a period of years. And it can be set up either in your name or anonymously to fund one or more charities if you're so inclined. This gives you a little bit more control over the investment assets that you're setting the money aside for, but you cannot direct the investments. Moreover, you can designate the charities that receive the funds and when they receive it, even though in the year that you make the gift to the donor-advised fund, it's deductible. So we've talked about DAFs, donor-advised funds, in the past, and we've also talked about charitable remainder trusts and charitable lead trusts. One of the main reasons that we give to charity is for our ego or our image. We want to be seen as being philanthropic in the community. Another reason is to achieve tax breaks, and we're going to talk about that today. Others give to charity for altruistic reasons, and yet others leave money to charity because they believe their heirs sufficiently are provided for. And whatever the reason that we donate, whatever the reason that we're giving, we know that there are many charities out there that could use our funds. So we want to incorporate charitable giving into our estate planning. And for us that want to do that, a charitable trust may be a perfect fit since it can be an effective way for you to achieve one or more of the goals that I just listed out for you. Give money to charity, provide a limited monetary benefit to yourself or your heirs for some period of time, and receive potentially substantial savings in income, estate, or gift taxes. So we have to be able to advise you on the different consequences of the different techniques. I mentioned charitable remainder trusts. Well, who is most likely to use one of these trusts? It's somebody who wants to retain an interest in cash flow or income from the assets that you put into the trust, or give it to a spouse or your heirs, but you want to retain some kind of cash flow from the assets that you're putting in trust for charity at the end of your life or at the end of a specific term. It's also somebody who may have a very low tax basis in highly appreciated assets, and you may want to diversify these assets. Because a CRT, a charitable remainder trust, is tax exempt, you won't recognize gain on the sale of the asset once it's inside the trust. Therefore, a charitable remainder trust is used often to help increase cash flow in the short run by selling the asset and reinvesting the proceeds in higher yielding investments. A third person who might be interested in a charitable remainder trust is somebody who wants to reduce their estate taxes. Now, in 2010, there is no estate tax, but it's coming back with a vengeance in 2011. And for estate planning purposes, the client, you, could set up either a testamentary trust, which is built in your will, or name a charitable remainder trust as the beneficiary of your retirement plan or your IRA. Unlike a regular trust that is a charitable remainder trust that's set up during your life, no income tax deduction is allowed in this type of environment, but there's also no gift tax. If you want to retain control over your assets, you can serve as the trustee of your own charitable remainder trust. But to protect the integrity of the trust, it's recommended that the trustee obtain a qualified appraisal of the trust's assets annually if they don't consist of marketable securities. So listen to past shows for how these trusts work, but a charitable remainder trust is for those people that I just described. The charitable lead trust, on the other hand, sort of the opposite of a charitable remainder trust, says that we're going to put an asset into an irrevocable trust, but the trust is going to pay out income or some fixed amount to charity at the front end. And after a period of time or after your life, the assets that are left over in the trust are going to be paid to your natural heirs or your beneficiaries or individuals that are non-charitable in nature. There's two kinds of charitable lead trusts, one known as a grantor, CLT, and the other is known as a non-grantor CLT. Without getting into too much detail, the grantor charitable lead trust allows you to make a gift, claim a tax write-off for the assets that you put into the trust based on life expectancy tables and interest rates that are currently in effect, but you have to recognize and pay tax on all the income that's earned by the trust during the period of the trust. So, who is going to be interested in a CLT, a charitable lead trust? Well, first of all, it's going to be a wealthy client who wants to utilize current charitable deductions to reduce taxes. Should they want to do that, they're going to have to use what I mentioned before, a grantor charitable lead trust. But then they have to be willing to pay tax on all the trust income going forward. If you don't want to give up control of the assets just yet, but you still want the benefit of the tax deduction, then consider using a charitable lead trust. For some period of time, the asset is going to generate income, which is going to be paid out to charity. But at the end of the term, you can either get it back or give it to somebody else. If you get it back, it's going to be included in your estate, obviously, for estate tax purposes. But if you give it to somebody else, then it won't be included in your estate. Clients, you are the client. You are willing to forego current cash flow for a period of time, then a charitable lead trust may be just for you, and then setting aside the assets for your heirs after that time period expires. A charitable lead trust may be for you. Watch out, however, when you leave assets to heirs and it might go to grandchildren, you could trigger a generation skipping transfer tax, and there are ways of minimizing the impact of that as well. If you want to take advantage of the current low interest rate environments, charitable lead trusts may be for you because the lead or charitable income interest is given a higher value when the interest rate environment is low. So if the asset can grow at a faster rate than the current IRS 75-20 rate, then more assets will go to the benefit of your heirs at the end of the charitable term and at a lower gift tax cost at the front end. Also, if you want to reduce your estate and gift taxes, like in a charitable remainder trust, you may want to consider using a charitable lead trust. Since the gift or estate tax value is determined based on the date that the trust is funded, based on the date that you put the assets inside the trust, all future appreciation in those assets escape estate and gift taxation. In all cases, if you want to make gifts of assets that currently have a low or very discounted value, but may appreciate significantly in the future, then using a living charitable lead trust may be for you. But you have to be willing to forgo the possibility of the step up in basis that you would get in these assets at the time of your death. So it's perfect when you're dealing with companies that might be growing rapidly. And if you put your shares of that company into a charitable lead trust, as long as it's not an S corporation, then you may be able to shelter significant asset value from estate and gift tax. One last type of technique using a charitable lead trust is something known as an increasing payment charitable lead annuity trust. It must pay either a fixed dollar amount or a fixed percentage of the initial value to charity. But unlike a CRT, a charitable remainder trust, there's no requirement that the annuity paid by the lead trust be any minimum amount. In fact, there's no requirement that the annuity be the same amount or percentage every year. So you can actually set aside an increasing payment amount for charity from the earliest years to the later years of the charitable lead trust. The IRS has approved this technique, and it can be valuable for you in your estate and tax planning. Now, these are complex topics, and we don't expect you to understand all the details. That's why we're here. Give us a call at 571-203-9355 if you want to know more about these advanced charitable planning techniques. In any event, give to charity. And if you don't have the money, give of your time and your effort. They need your help, and they need it now. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth, and we'll be back right after these messages with our special guest.